You're listening to the Star Wars Report, Episode 6, Lego Speak. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the 6th episode of the Star Wars Report. I'm Riley.
And I'm Bethany.
He's off in the distance, but he's with us. Welcome, Mr. Mark.
I can't hold it.
Han, there's still time to save Han.
Look at the size of that thing.
And I thought they smelled bad. Only a... Okay, we're just jumping into all the quotes right off the bat. As we said, you're listening to the 6th episode of the Star Wars Report. Thank you for tuning in to your source for all the latest news from that galaxy far, far, far away, and sometimes not so much. We've got a lot of awesomeness to cover, quite a lot of awesomeness to cover. San Diego Comic-Con is underway as we record this particular episode. All kinds of announcements coming in. We're missing the airing of the Lego Star Wars Padawan Menace special as we speak right now. Katie Sackhoff's A Mandalorian in Season 4. We already have a Celebration 6 teaser. Savazu Press to return for Season 4. We got so much stuff, guys. This is going to be an absolutely packed episode. So sit back in your seats and grab some Java Juice. You want a cup of Java Juice? And enjoy this episode of the Star Wars Report.
And first up here, we have Star Wars on Blu-ray cover art and deleted scenes trailer. What is this, you might ask?
I have actually not seen the deleted scenes trailer.
Really?
Yeah,
Oh, goodness, it's great.
Yeah, I wanted to save it and watch it live on the show.
Don't save. You're going to go to the show. It's going to be a big screen. You're going to be all like, oh my gosh, it's Star Wars on a big screen, yay!
I don't think I've ever...
Oh, forgets you've seen it before.
Yeah. See, I don't think I've squeed before on air. So I may just do that. So I'm playing it right now. See what we got. Star Wars, of course, the awesome Blu-ray logo.
Cool logo right there. Like,
yeah.
Look, it's
I kind of do a brief live commentary of it. It's only about a minute or so of footage. So most of which was just that beginning logo. Oop. Yep. The Luke Skywalker scene.
As seen at Star Wars Celebration 5.
Ooh. And the Tatooine Desert. Admiral Akbar is the B-Wing pilot. Sandstorm.
Random. Okay. Sandstorm with the Millennium Falcon.
There's the Wampa on Echo Base.
Ooh.
Wow, so a lot of these scenes are only things that we've kind of heard about on the episode. Oh, yeah, and a bullet wound to Luke's hand. So all scenes that
sure
we've
that
kind
was
of
a
heard
bullet
of,
wound.
Nothing brand new. Yeah, and of course the Star Wars, the Force on Blu-ray, Own Every Moment, September
the
2011.
Discs and the cover art. That looks really great, too.
Yeah. The disc and cover art's also out, yep, according to Amazon.co.uk. Thank you, Amazon, always releasing the stuff before
you're
supposed
to. No, you have to say
Amazon.co.uk.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely wonderful Blu-ray deleted scenes trailer. Nothing that we haven't actually seen before, though.
If Mark Newbold is
heard
listening
of
to this, he is going to laugh his face off at our bad accents.
I have no idea what that accent was, but... Okay, so we...
Yeah.
So tease the more of the deleted scenes, which are definitely my favorite aspect when it comes to what I'm looking forward to. A couple of the documentaries look pretty cool, but the deleted scenes are really the selling point for me. I hope they have more than what they just teased there, but that was just like a 1 minute teaser. Actually 30-second teaser by the time the logos got finished showing.
Yep.
But what did you think of that? Are you much of a deleted scenes guy, Mark?
Oh, yes. I always love the deleted scenes. In fact, I'm such a deleted scenes guy. I'm really pushing for a company to say, you know what, let's be smart and play. You know, when you start a DVD, you've got the original theatrical version, the unrated version. Where is my deleted scenes inserted version? Come on. I mean, I want to see it with it in its intended location.
Tell you what, Mark, fanedit.org. That's where you want to go. Fanedit.org. They've got a plethora of various versions of the Star Wars films there. If you've never been, you should go. And as I mentioned before, Cartoon Network announces Lego Star Wars The Padawan Menace with very little warning. As a matter of fact, as we record this, it's airing tonight or maybe already aired.
It has already aired, I believe. Yes. I heard some people raving about it on Skype and Twitter. So.
Oh, really? So, like, raving as in good or raving as in upset?
Raving as in good. As
okay,
in,
good reviews so far.
Oh, I've already
so
watched
far.
It twice, and I'm going to watch it again. Oh, you know who you are.
Okay, so you got the Lego. I guess not much to say until we actually review. We may have to do a live commentary. What do you guys say? That'd be kind of cool.
You know, what I will say, though, this right here is proof that the Star Wars Expanded Universe has been playing with alternate realities right here with the Lego Universe. Let us put the end to the rumor. It's been going on for a long time now.
Mark is so triumphant right now. Okay, explain yourself, sir. What do you mean?
I mean, you watch that. They got the little trailer scenes that they do. It's almost exactly like what's going down, but then it takes a little twist. It takes a Lego twist, because you're in a Lego universe.
So what?
Slightly different.
So what canon is it?
what canon what? Is
it? It's Lego canon.
That would, I believe it would fall under a T-level or S-level canon.
L canon.
No, not T.
L canon.
T is the Clone Wars. But see, it is the Clone Wars, right? Or something like that, it's, isn't it? I don't know. How much does George have a hand in
it's,
it?
It's
no, it's
Brick
gotta
Wars.
Be C or S. It's gotta be secondary. Secondary, yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
What is S-level, anyway?
Sounds like we need a tweet to Leland.
Yeah, we need to get in touch with Leland, see what's going on here.
Yeah. Help me, Leland, you're my only hope!
Yeah, but Lego Star Wars, interesting that it's returning in a 30-minute form. I wonder if there's... Have we found out if there was dialogue in this thing or not?
Other than her.
I have no idea. We need to do a Lego podcast.
Yeah, we do.
We
need to do a Lego commentary of the Star Wars movies. That way, when Luke comes
on,
you're
dub.
You communicate your thoughts
of course,
in Lego noises.
The people who are originally the Lego speak are the Tusken Raiders, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So the Tusken Raiders don't need to be dubbed, but yeah, I could kind of imagine of a...
They gotta be reverse dubbed. Oh, I said get off of my hill! Get off of my hill!
All right, so we're gonna play a quick game here. Halt the presses. We're going to stop our newsroom, and I'm gonna see if you guys can guess which scene in the Star Wars universe I'm gonna...
Oh, no.
I'm gonna give you a hint. I'm gonna give you some background music, and I'm gonna...
It's the cantina scene. It's the
cantina scene. Oh, no. Specific. You gotta get specific. All right, here we go.
Luke, I am your father.
Nope.
No. I got it.
No, you're wrong. Bethany, go.
Okay, it's in the cantina.
Okay.
It's when that guy says he doesn't
he
like
doesn't
you.
Like
and,
you.
And then Obi-Wan chops off his arm.
Exact. Got it. A plus. We need to make a game out of this. This is awesome. Legoify a Star Wars game so you can guess it first.
Oh, we should have a contest where we bug our listeners by saying, if you can guess... The different
I smell
scenes
a live
of our...
chat game. When this podcast goes live, I'm telling you, we got to do this. Talk about
listeners. Tell us what you think of this somewhat crazy and annoying idea.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on and continue with the news. The Fate of the Jedi Apocalypse, which is of course set to come out in the near future.
You know what? These guys have been watching The Walking Dead.
That's true.
Sister, I've been watching The Walking Dead. It's a good show.
The end of Fate of the Jedi Apocalypse is set to preview the next Star Wars series. This is straight from EU.
What'd you say?
did we bring you the, Mark hasn't looked at the show notes or something, I think. Wow. So, kind of a surprising Star Wars series. Let's see what they say. This is straight from EU Cantina. According to the spring catalog from Random House, the ninth and final installment of the Fate of the Jedi series, Apocalypse, will feature an extensive excerpt from the first book of the next Star Wars novel series. There was no word on how many novels the series will include. who will be pinning it, or when it will be released, or if it's in existence, or if we're alive, or if the Earth is truly round. But we welcome your speculation on the forums, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. No actual details, but Fate of the Jedi Apocalypse is set to come out April next year. And I might pick up Fate of the Jedi again. I dropped off, but I might have to jump all the way to Conviction and just start from there. I don't know. Would that be too bad, Mark?
I think that could be workable. I haven't read Convention yet.
Convention. Fate of the Jedi, the Star Wars convention.
I'm convention-minded these days, guys.
Hey, that works, though.
Tahiri is on trial.
We're all gathering to discover what the fate is. Yeah. Has anybody seen Master Skywalker? I haven't seen Master Skywalker. He was going over to some Sarlacc pit.
Yeah. We lost him when he was heading over to the costume contest. We'll see. I don't think it's going to be more than a trilogy. They've said it so many times. The next Star Wars series is probably going to be a trilogy. Would it be post Fate of the Jedi? What do you think, Mark?
Well, that's the thing. They've left it wide open as to where in the timeline this could be. I mean, granted, and I won't say even most EU fans, because we are such a divided and fickle group of what we like and don't like, but there is a lot of people that wants to know what's happening in the Legacy era. And what I mean by that is from Fate of the Jedi, Legacy of the Force, all those books, to the Legacy comic series, that big gap in years is all the Legacy era. And we've only got in the books one end of that era, and then in comics, the other end. So there is a gap there that like Star Wars, the original trilogy and pre-trilogy are slowly working their ways towards each other. But, you know, in this case, you don't have George Lucas to kind of kickstart it going. So, I mean, if Del Rey drops the ball here and says, hey, we're done with the story, I could see them constantly just not going back to that era. I could see him just dropping it, letting dust settle. I mean, it scares me to even think, but I could see him doing it.
Yeah. Although I think if I wanted to see an era, it would be the Legacy era. I would really like to see the lead up to Cade Skywalker.
That's me too. That and KOTOR are the two eras that I'm really enjoying the most.
Well, if you listened to the last episode, you know where I am with KOTOR right now. But anyway, we won't go into that now. I'm pretty intrigued. Like I say, I kind of fell off Fate of the Jedi because in the middle of Vortex, I was just trying to chug through it. I was trying. It was like you in the Clone Wars novels, Mark. I was trying hard to get through it. And I'll probably have to pick it up again, but I don't think I'll be able to keep up with it. I might try to catch up before Apocalypse comes around in April. We've got, what, two more releases or three?
I believe so, yeah. I think you're looking at three. Siege was that way for me. I still haven't finished it. I've got to go back and finish it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do it. Oh, another book came out. Oh, I'm not doing it. Oh, Conviction. Oh, I got Choices of One.
Yeah, Choices of One. I got to pick up some Choices of One. That actually looks pretty good.
That sounds really good. I've heard a lot of good things about it.
The one that gets me the most, the Choices of One affect everyone or something like that. I'm like, oh, that sounds so deep.
I'm telling you. All right, let's see. We have also a Celebration 6 teaser. Wait, what?
Celebration C6! Celebration C-3PO's cousin!
Celebration 6 is still more than a year away, all the way until next August, but the official site updated with an official Celebration 6 teaser. So I'm going to take a quick look at it. Tried to screen share, Mark, but I don't think you can catch it. Have you seen this thing, Mark?
I caught it in the pre-show.
Excellent. In our extensive pre-show preparation.
Next summer, the ultimate Star Wars party returns.
They're throwing what's billed as the biggest Star Wars party ever.
Get ready for Star Wars Celebration 6.
Nice.
Exhibits. Costumes. Live entertainment. One-of-a-kind activities.
This is awesome.
And special celebrity guests.
Mark Hamill.
You're welcome, George Lucas.
It's 4 days of fun for the whole family.
Let's give them some big scary kids like this.
It's an incredible family experience for a lot of people.
Go, 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 go!
So join Jedi of all ages for the ultimate Star Wars party.
Awesome! I can't wait!
Buy your tickets now for Star Wars Celebration 6.
We would be honored if you would join us.
August 23rd through 26th in Orlando, Florida. Tickets on sale now at StarWarsCelebration.com.
Okay.
I want to go.
I'm really excited as always, but was that not the most boring announcer? Tickets on sale now at StarWarsCelebration.com. He's like, I think he was trying to sound excited, which wasn't working.
They're like, look, buddy, these are Star Wars fans. You say two words, Boba Fett, they're going to freak out. You have to say this calm, collected.
Where?
These guys are fanaticals. Where do you think the word fan comes from? That's right, Star Wars fanaticals. They're all Star Wars fanaticals in some way or another. They see a lightsaber, they go, ah, Star Wars!
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Although, as much as that was exciting and really brought back some memories for me from Celebration 5. It was all Celebration 5 footage for the audio listeners, by the way. Or for the only listeners. For the listeners, it was all footage
all
of...
all Celebration 5?
I think pretty
I
much
some
all of
it.
It
was maybe from 4 or 3.
They might have snagged a little bit, but they had showed Dave
I
Filoni in the kids'
a
room.
Lot of it.
Yeah, Dave Filoni in the kids' room and a number of other features from Celebration 5. But they're really billing Celebration 6 as a family event. And I think the reason they are is because kids pay the same price as parents, by the way. So if you haul,
are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No,
as I understand, I should.
We gotta pause. Are you being serious? Was that a joke?
No, far as I understand, Bethany, you can double check me while we're talking. But as far as I understand, it's the same price.
Wow. Now I could see like at a certain age, but. Wow, really? No price break for an 8-year-old? I mean, man, that's just kind of shocking.
Yeah, we're about to find out because I don't want to quote that too much on air, so Bethany can look it up. But I will say this, looking forward to Celebration 6. That looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, I didn't get to go to C5, but, you know, and I don't even know if this was cut out of last episode, but I just recently got a 1997 2-disc record. And I freaked out, like, literally, like, I mean, we were in the middle of the show, and I just started going nuts. And, you know, that's the thing. I want to see other fans going nuts. I want to look to the guy on my left, the guy on my right, and know that I'm not the only guy in the middle of the group geeking out.
Okay.
I want to share the love, man.
Nice. Well, what we're looking at now, we're looking at the tickets, and you can actually, I just noticed kids 4-day passes are cheaper. Okay. So, but they're not that much cheaper. $54 for 4-day pass for children.
Versus $85?
$130 for an adult.
Oh, well, that's a heck of a deal then. Okay. That makes sense.
Ratio,
I mean, that just seems to me, it's like, it's hard enough. I mean, I'm looking at it from someone who's living on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be lucky to get myself there. And, you know, to think about, you know, the plane tickets, everything has gone up, you know, up and away web and all that. And it's like, what is going on, man? You're going to milk us for the kids too? That just seems criminal and crazy at the same time. It doesn't seem like a winning strategy.
Yeah.
But that does not at all sound like a bad price for what you're talking about.
That's not too bad. I eat my words, so you don't have to send us emails. But however, a family event, when you do bring the wife and the kids, is way more profitable. Regardless, even if it is a lower price. So they really do seem to be billing this as a family-friendly environment. The way they did the trailer, they showed a lot of kids there, many more than you would actually see if you were walking the actual convention floor. I mean, there were kids
there. It was
that
scene where they show them running across with their blasters that got me. I'm like, oh, that would be fun to do with your family.
Laser tag. That was awesome. We beat up William Devereaux. from the We Talk Clones podcast. Actually, we didn't. He was on my team.
He was on our team, and the other team, which, I don't know.
They cheated. We'll never forget.
They used the dark side.
Rematch at Celebration 6.
They were
6.
Zombies. They kept coming back and coming back. Like, after we would kill them and they would walk off the floor, they would sneak back onto the floor with their laser blasters again. So we fought zombies and eventually lost. But we held out for a long time.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun.
I killed this guy like 38 times. He's still coming. Aim for the head.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Celebration 6 coming in next summer. All right, let's go ahead and move into our next news story. Katie Sackhoff.
I'm excited. Say it again. Say it again, Riley. Say it again.
Katie Sackhoff is a Mandalorian warrior. No, not just a Mandalorian warrior, because that might just mean somebody in funny, fluffy clothes who walks around and is peaceful. No, she's Death Watch. I'm talking real Mandalorians.
She is the first female Mandalorian warrior, like Death Watch warrior that we've seen on the Clone Wars show. And her episode is set to air about halfway through the fourth season of the Clone Wars.
Yeah. I love the way Entertainment Weekly says it. Sekhov will be the first female Mandalorian we've seen on the show. Which is true. But, wait. Did they amend it? They fixed it. A day or two ago, when the story read, she will be the first female Mandalorian ever that we've ever seen anywhere. As like, so they fixed it.
They included the expanded universe, the first female Mandalorian warrior in the Star Wars universe. So they admitted that.
They released a special preview clip of Ahsoka Tano on a wintry, icy planet. So I'm going to go ahead and play this, and we'll talk about it as it happens. Hopefully, all the listeners have seen it. We'll include a link in the show notes as always.
Strap in.
Boom boom. So we see Ahsoka on a spaceship. She's asleep, caught off guard. Lux? Wait a second.
Lux.
Not him. Okay, no. No. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of Lux. All right, here we go.
Where are my lightsabers? Lux. R2, take a look around and see if you can find where Lux hid them. Chat with Mr. Von Terry.
Hear the music?
Lux! Lux, where are we? And
Lux.
What did you do with my lightsabers?
Lux!
You should have stayed on the ship.
I love how she moves in to protect him even though she doesn't have her lightsabers.
Hey, kid. You're late.
Death Watch.
Ooh. Nice. Mando's. Lux. Lux.
I think I'm in love with a whole new character. Move over, Previsla. I mean, dude, that helmet. She looks like an owl, like one of those little hoot owls, a shriek owl, or whatever owl. That's awesome.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah, she... I love Katie Sackhoff, by the way. Let me just stop for a second. Katie Sackhoff is like one of the most awesome sci-fi female characters of all time on Battlestar Galactica. I've only seen a handful of episodes. I haven't even seen all of Battlestar.
I've never seen any of it.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Oh, nice. Really? Instant streaming. Go to netflix.com/StarWars. Oh, wait. We don't have this. Oh, well. There's sponsorship from Netflix. But, I just absolutely love Katie Sackhoff. That's a separate issue, though. A Mandalorian female in the Clone Wars. I like it.
Let's take a moment to address the other.
Okay.
Second issue here.
Second issue.
Death Watch is back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They didn't. They didn't just drop a plot line out of nowhere and just forget about it. There's actually a revisit. I'm so glad, because that happens all the time in the Clone Wars, where they have this awesome plot line, Savage Opress anyone, and then just drop it.
Actually, you do know Opress is coming back in season 4.
And he's rumored to do that.
It's for certain. He's coming back in season 4.
Nice.
You guys have had a theory for a long time here. Lucas has had this all planned out. Remember, he had already up to 5 seasons worth of script, and then he said, oh, we're going to keep going as long as this show has interest. After they originally said they were only doing, 122-minute episodes, and that was, all they were going to do. This guy has got a lot of stuff. I am betting that we're seeing that all cut, chopped, put together. You see an episode here. He's got 5 others to go with it in 2 or 3 seasons down the road. This man is genius. We had an original trilogy. Boom! Pre-trilogy. Coming at you a few decades later. And it was awesome.
I love the way you kind of sound a little bit like the 1940s radio advertiser. You had an original trilogy. Well, now you have a prequel trilogy. Boom! You got to run a prequel trilogy. Okay. So yes, Clone Wars season 4, of course, airing very soon, October, I believe, coming to a small screen near you. Katie Sackhoff is awesome and beautiful and awesome. Okay. All right, I'm done. We have the cover art for the Old Republic Revan.
Yes, we do.
Anyone
else excited?
Mark, I'll let you give a little bit of commentary.
I'm on the fence with this cover. I mean, I see it and immediately I get fan awesome about it. I'm like, oh, Revan, it's like Boba Fett only in the Old Republic. And then I stop and I'm like, wait a minute. He's in the Revan mask. Wait a minute. He's got a green lightsaber. Wait a minute. This is after KOTOR 2, or it's supposed to take place during KOTOR 1 all the way through KOTOR 2. What's going on? So I'm looking at it going, I don't know. To use the words I put in one of the chats, it's like watching a USA military parade with Adolf Hitler in full Nazi gear walking at the front of the thing carrying a United States flag. I see him wearing that mask and I'm like, wait a minute, this is the mask that addressed him as a Sith Lord, and yet he's wearing a Jedi green lightsaber waving it around, and this is obviously a book about him going after a great evil, which makes me think Jedi, but I'm like, why are you wearing the evil mask? Everybody's going to think you're the evil Revan. What are you doing, you idiot? Take it off. So I don't know. I'm torn. I mean, it's awesome. You look at the lightning and stuff going on in the background, and I don't know, the chamber he's in. I mean, he definitely looks like he's ready to take someone on, but oh, man, I'm lost on how awesome it is.
You know, I would like to say, Mark, though, we have no idea exactly what's up their sleeve with this book. I am a big fan of Revan. I really, really liked KOTOR 1, and I'm still trying to finish KOTOR 2. But anyway, this cover looks awesome to me. The green lightsaber has thrown me for a little bit of a loop. Other than that, I would say, oh, it's just Revan at the beginning, you know, just Revan at the beginning of all. But with the green lightsaber there, I'm not so sure. The green lightsaber to me is the only thing that throws me for a loop, because everything else makes sense.
Yeah, and that's what puts me in speculation mode. I mean, from the Tor game, we know that the Sith Emperor has been alive for centuries, IES, plural, more than one, which means that he's been around all this time, and we know that he made a quote-unquote tool out of Revan and Malak for his Sith Empire, which makes me wonder how far the tool aspect of Revan's fate are we going to see. Is he been through the games and all this stuff a pawn of the Sith Emperor? I mean, did he ever actually step out of that role of Sith Emperor's pawn? I mean, you know, as far as I remember from the games, he ends up being his own man and going out to confront whatever's out there. And, you know, obviously it must have been the Sith, because that's the direction Tor seems to go with it. But when you apply what happens in the game that we don't know yet, because it hasn't come out yet, and then everything from the games that we have played and known, this sets up one heck of an EU story for fans out there everywhere. I mean, whether you want to know anything about this guy or not, this is going to be, in my opinion, a story that's probably going to rival Darth Bane's trilogy.
Yeah, yeah. As many KOTOR fans and Tor fans have been saying recently, our time has come. Oh, me. Well, before we go into our next new story, I'd like to talk a little bit about our sponsor. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a sponsor, which is awesome. Why? Because we were tired of losing episodes. As we mentioned in the last episode, we've had some technical difficulties, so to help us upgrade some equipment and help us produce a better show for the audience, for you guys, the listeners, we have a sponsor, and their name is Toy Hut. Toy Hut is your source. The place to get Star Wars action figures, both vintage and modern. If Hasbro made it, you want it, it's there. It's there. So definitely head over to Toy Hut, toyhutwith2ts.com, and support the Star Wars Report by purchasing some action figures over at Toy Hut. And let's just pick a featured action figure. Let's see if we can just find something. They have all kinds of things. Power of the Force, vintage.
Hey, let's go for Revan. Let's find a Revan or a Malak character right now.
Search for a Revan in there. Let's see if we can find a Darth Revan. I don't even know if they made one, and we'll just find out and see what
they do. I have two of them, my friend. Yep. I have two of them. You can find it. You can click it. You can pick it. Then you get it.
Oh, there it is. Star Wars Mighty Mugs, Darth Revan, $10.50. Nice competitive pricing. I want one. I know.
That's
no.
A Mighty Mug, though. So.
Yeah.
I don't want your Mighty Mug.
They have a high price tag for the EU figure, but they are collectibles. So head over to toyhut.com. Jets Toy Hut.
You know, you can keep the Mighty Bugs. I'm liking the Star Wars 30th anniversary Darth Revan with collector
with the collector coin. That's pretty nice. But
that's,
yes,
that's the one I got right there.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
how much is that going for right now?
Oh wow, you don't want it? $68 for a nice.
Oh, I'm so glad I didn't open that second one right now.
But that's what I'm talking about. They have
actually they're out of stock. Like,
out of stock. Wow. So it's a nice rare figure. But yeah, if you want the Star Wars 30th anniversary Biggs Dark Lighter from Topshi Station. $3.50.
Look, he spelled Tashi correctly.
Tashi Station is spelled correctly.
I'm so happy.
Bonus points. So yeah, head over to Toy Hut with two T's.com and support the Star Wars Report. Be sure to let them know that you came from us. If it's just one action figure, just buy your token action figure and let them know that it was because of the Star Wars Report. And we really appreciate all the help we can get over here as we put our efforts in for making the best Star Wars podcast on the interwebs for you guys. So that's right, toyhut.com, Toy Hut with two T's. Thank you so much for your support. All right, well, let's go ahead and get back into the news. What's this about Opress returning to season 4 of the Clone Wars?
Ooh, are you going to play the trailers?
What on earth is going on? Wait a second.
That's so, right. There was so much information out there. Riley's already getting excited.
So, again, this is Comic-Con news. Clone Wars Season 4.
Okay. Right. From TheForce.net, they say,
okay.
Revenge of the would-be Sith. That's pretty clever. Savage Opress. Savage. Asajj Ventress.
Asajj. I'm sorry. It's too easy.
And Night Sisters will return to the series. Opress will be shown continuing his mission to find Darth Maul. When the Night Sisters were announced for season 4, 4 women dressed as Dathomir's dark side witches appeared on stage. This would be appearing on stage at San Diego Comic-Con panels. Fred, they look awesome and creepy. Creepily awesome.
You know, I want to just say something really fast. I was in the Solo Sound forums the other day talking with some people, and they had mentioned that there was a version of the Phantom Menace that had Darth Maul not cut in half, that they were worried that it was going to be enough to push the show into a PG-13 slot, and so they had ready-to-go versions of Darth Maul falling through the pit, not splitting in half. And this fan that was seeing it, he remembered seeing it like that. And then when he saw it on DVD or VHS, he was like, wait, that's totally different. He didn't fall apart like that. And he hunted and found out that there were like 30 copies of the film that went out to theaters with that original Maul altogether.
Really?
Which makes you stop and go, what are you doing? What? Han did not shoot first?
Well, that kind of reminds me because someone I know, I'll leave the name completely anonymous. Not me, but someone I know.
Better be not me.
No, this is not me. Somebody I know.
No, not me.
A friend of mine has a pirated version of Attack of the Clones from the theaters, and he was watching it on his computer one day, and the part where Padme falls from the gunship, and the clones running up to rescue her. In the DVD and most versions of the films, the clone says, "Are you all right?" And she says, "Uh-huh." And a lot of people, it's actually a giggle moment for a lot of people because it's a pretty poorly delivered line when she just goes, "Uh-huh."
And it's like, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, sorry.
Shut up.
Uh-huh. This map. Beep.
All right. But in this version, she says yes, and she says it dramatically and with passion and with resolve. And I'm like, wow, that's a much better version on the theatrical one. So
yeah.
I bet there are little slight differences. And I think so, even in Attack of the Clones, evidently.
What
that
on
happened.
Earth do you think made them go with the uh-huh version?
There's probably some I don't know.
Well,
there's probably some
right
little
here.
Mess up.
Harrison
about it
Ford
somewhere.
Said it to George. George, you can write it, you just can't read it. He was like, he's like, don't worry. You just say the line. Just say the line. Okay, yeah, we got to change that. You just can't. No, you can't read that.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, we've got a new Jedi general with a different look on things of the species of the four-armed Dexter Jetster. And that's pretty awesome. There will be comic episode with C-3PO and R2-D2 experiencing the war in their own way. and hijacking a Y-wing. Interesting. The Mortis.
Oh my gosh! This is the first I heard of that, and I have got all sorts of ideas running through my head. Oh, C-3PO in the pilot seat, and R2 going, "Oh, you're going for it right now, buddy! I'm in control."
I can imagine that's going to be some comic gold.
Apparently,
that's one of my favorite scenes because I love R2D2. Okay?
Yeah.
It's no joke. I love
exactly.
The and when he's, I think it was in Courtship of Princess Leia, where he takes over the Millennium Falcon and he's flying, or it could even be in Darkness. I can't even remember. It was like two similar scenes where he's flying the Millennium Falcon in and he's just like, I can't believe it, I'm doing it. I was like, yes, go, buddy, go.
Nice. Yeah, but let's see. The Mortis arc from season 3 is just the beginning into an exploration of the mysticism of the Force. This is all from the Clone Wars panel at Comic-Con, by the way.
Go back to that one.
Just
in the mysticism of the Force, but not the beginning of the Mortis plots, right?
Yeah, the Mortis arc from season 3 is just the beginning into an exploration of the mysticism of the Force and those Force wielders.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you then, do you think that that means that they're going to go back to that plot and address those characters, or they're going to leave that plot alone and bring in a new plot that deals with philosophy of the Force?
Okay, Riley's reading from ClubJade.net. I have theForce.net up, and they say,
ooh, competing sites.
There will be more stories like the Mortis arc. That is according to theForce.net. So I would lean towards thinking there are more stories similar to that. Not
so yeah,
more
Bethany's off the Force.net blog. I'm off the ClubJade. They both had their own reporters in the field that were reading off of here.
Well, that does then leave you to think that it is more, they're just going to go back and touch on philosophy, which I find good. I don't have it on DVD yet. I really want it. But when I was watching the Mortis trilogy again, there were some definite things that struck me as odd. One being they had a 1,000-year-old Jedi beacon, yet as soon as they show up on Mortis, nobody cares about it. And that plot was just completely left wide open.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm definitely all for the Force philosophy stuff.
But I thought
Mortis threw me off.
They never leave plots wide open in the Clone Wars. I don't understand. sarcasm.
Apparently, Dave Filoni says at some point, which I find this interesting, Rex doesn't like what the clones are turning into.
Mm.
That sparked my interest because I'm like where could that go? We all know what happens to the clones in the long run. So, how quickly will we see this happen? How will this affect the Jedi? How will this affect Anakin and Ahsoka's relationship with Rex?
You bring that up, it reminds me of the 501st in Battlefront 2, where, they're on, I think it was Megiddo, and they're there with Ki-Adam Mundi, and they're stealing stuff sent from Palpatine, and they're stealing stuff that is building the superstructure laser for the Death Star. And they're stealing it out from underneath the Jedi's nose as part of his Palpatine's plan. So I wonder if we're going to start seeing something of that built up. Like, maybe they go to a planet and yet the Chancellor sends the clones a special mission. Oh, hey, by the way, don't tell the Jedi, but I need you to go do this. And maybe he doesn't like being the senator's, the chancellor's little private army. I mean, there's so many ways he could run with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in addition, let's see. Asajj Ventress and the Night Sisters are fighting against the droid army. Dave Filoni previewed this rough, uncolored clip after he brought up with a group of Night Sisters costumers on stage. And as previously released, Death Watch is back. Katie Sackhoff voices Pre Vizsla's Lieutenant, which also means the return of Jon Favreau as Pre Vizsla.
Yay!
And they round up Lux Bonteri and Ahsoka Tano on a snowy world with her squad of Death Watch Mandalorians. Yeah, nice.
Oh,
yep.
You know, I didn't mention this in that clip, but seeing Ahsoka in a new outfit, she's got that whole little winter bolo fur thing. I thought that was a pretty cool little model they got for her.
Nice.
I love
like
to see
it.
New toys of these new models because there are very few action figures out there. Go to toyhut.com. And then you go out there and there's very few of them, but you find Ahsoka, she's got like two outfits or three outfits right now. I would love to see every version of Ahsoka have a different outfit because they don't have many female characters. Bring on Katie. I want to see as many new female characters that have strong roles. No one and duns.
Yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
Yes. And apparently, Bounty Hunters return.
Woo!
Boss Cad Bane and Boba Fett will be back. And Dengar will be debuting in the Clone Wars for the first time.
No,
you're just stuck on the Boba Fett.
Dengar, since I read the Tales of the Bounty Hunters book, Dengar is one of my favorite bounty hunters. I love this guy, and I love his EU story. Usually, I'm the guy who says, well, the EU's the EU, and I can deal with it if there's different. Dengar, I love. So now you're delving into territory where I'm protective. I really hope they portray him like he's portrayed in the Tales of the Bounty Hunters book.
Okay, you keep your Dengar. Me and Marco.
No, I'm with him on this on the Dengar because I like Dengar. And here is my thing about Dengar showing up that excites me. Okay, this is the closest you're going to get Clone Wars fans to Han Solo being in the Clone Wars, because Dengar gets the head wrap and all that stuff racing Han Solo, the swoop bikes in the books, which happened after the Clone Wars. So Dengar is not going to be all messed up. And if he is, they've got to find a way to tie Han into it. Although it's George, he doesn't have to, but for the sake of the EU, they have to. They have to.
I haven't seen any images yet, but if I had to guess, I bet you they're going to leave the head wrap on because, like you say, it's George Lucas. I'm not sure he's going to pay attention to the backstory, which is unfortunate, but I think they want to have that classic Dengar look. So if it was like some kind of handsome guy with plenty of hair on his head or something, it wouldn't look like Dengar. So I could see.
I think that would play well, though. Who's that?
No.
Who's that? Oh, what's his name? Who's that Justin Bieber looking guy? Or Justin Timberlake looking dude?
Justin Bieber.
That's Dengar, man. You know, wouldn't that be funny if he was like a heartthrob,
Mark.
You know?
You have crossed a line.
Although I'm
you
telling
cannot
you.
Swear on this show. You know it's supposed to be kept clean.
No J words. Although, granted, Dateline.
No 4-letter words. Wait, Jedi Sith don't count.
Dateline, 2014. Justin Bieber is in a terrible motorcycle accident. He now wears a turban. Okay.
Shut up.
All right, we're making stuff up as we go.
I do like Dengar. He's just not my favorite.
Although,
but I do like him quite a bit.
The follow-up to that question during the Q&A session, Dave Filoni said, indeed, no Han. Filoni's
Han.
Not interested in
Han.
Introducing young Han.
Han.
Han Solo.
Han Solo.
This is right. It's still time to save Han.
He was choking at that point. It's Han. Leia says it as Han.
Okay, well, that's the way she says it. Okay. Moving on. There will be no Han Solo. Okay, I give in.
Wait, yeah, she's right. You think. Actually, Leia even calls him Han at one time.
Oh,
shut up.
All right, but yes, there will be no. Sorry. Dave Filoni is not interested in introducing a young Han Solo, despite Chewbacca's appearance in the end of season 3. Also, during the planning of the Holocron heist story arc, they thought about bringing Durgin as the main villain before George Lucas came up with Cad Bane. I could see that, yeah.
And I actually think that's a great idea since Durge was created for the last Clone Wars series and then disappeared. I mean, that is one thing I will go out there on a mini rant. You know, you create Clone Wars. You win awards for Clone Wars. Then you make the Clone Wars. And then you change the story that alters Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Also, in another note, Filoni fully expects to see Scuba Troopers at Celebration 6.
Okay, 501st, you can take that hint. I know you can do it.
Accepted. You know someone out there saying that right now as they listen.
Yeah.
Filoni.
I want to say I've been watching these trailers for this next season, and I am just I'm thinking landing at Point Rain here when you see this whole water battle and you got Kit Fisto doing his thing and stuff. I mean, that's as good as it gets right there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, okay. It's a trap Akbar.
Okay. Wow.
It's a trap bar.
Apparently, Filoni confirmed the appearance of Clone Commandos, but said that it wouldn't be Delta Squad because. Get this. He doesn't want to mess with that continuity.
What? What's
Bless
this?
Bless you, sir! Bless you!
Oh, goodness.
Wow.
We're not worthy!
Oh, I knew you would love that, Mark.
How hard is it to just look the other way and create a new character for a time or two? I mean, it's not that hard.
Which is evidently what they're doing with more Clone Commandos. So, a soul day, a red day, the sun rises. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Next, he's going to tell us they're a bunch of null arcs.
Actually, next, apparently, Ahsoka and Lux may develop an on-screen romance.
No.
That would be annoying.
Are you kidding? You know, I've just recently been discussing family line kind of thing in the Jedi Order itself. And if you'll notice, we've got Qui-Gon and Tall, Obi-Wan and Sihir, and Siri and Obi-Wan and Satine now. We've got Anakin and Padme. Oh, do we really got to go there with Ahsoka? What is wrong with this line? Yoda, step in. Tell them they can't be a bunch of adultering Jedi.
I know. It's, they for people who have complete control over themselves, they don't. At least Mace Windu is the only chest guy. I mean, the only.
Yeah, but that's because he's piping everything into his Form 7, which borders the dark side. He's found a way to channel his passion. That's all he's done. He's proved that the Jedi cannot do this.
Oh, I had to create my own lightsaber form. I'm that weak, Obi-Wan. You gotta kill Grievous. I can't do it. I can't not be mad and angry. It's what I do.
I'm Sam Jackson, and I've approved this message. Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay. Oh, any more Clone Wars? Well, Jabba the Hutt will return. Return of the Hutt. Yep, right. Yep. Stole that straight from the Force.net. And apparently, there's no word on his little stinky thing that follows him around. Never like
no,
that.
No sign of Stinky. No sign of Stinky.
I just hope nobody's taking a blaster to poor Stinky, too, because that would just be a tragedy.
Let's see.
No. I would be happy.
There's an R2. There is now an R2-D2 Xbox.
Now, see.
Enough said.
An R2-D2 Xbox. Like this.
What else will they...
Which one?
Now, with the upcoming Star Wars Kinect game, they are releasing a special Star Wars edition of the Xbox 360, themed with an R2-D2 console and a golden chrome controller that's C-3PO-esque. So, yeah, it actually looks pretty cool, to be honest. But
yeah, you know, that was the one that surprised me, was that they had the controller looking like 3PO. Because when I first heard this story on EUcast, we didn't have a picture at the time. The only picture we had was the custom-made fan version of the R2-D2 that moved around that they hollowed out and made an Xbox, where his little arm opened up and the DVD thing slid. I mean, that was tight. So that was like, oh, dude. Anybody sees this link, they're going to want to buy the official one.
Yeah,
definitely.
Also, a new book is coming out called Book of Sith. It is coming in 2012.
What is it about, though? What's it about? I'm confused here.
Sith.
No.
And Palpatine didn't get it and, like, tweak it up or something? You know, I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
Is this similar to the Jedi Path in any
Actually,
way?
It is brought to you by the very same team.
That's the Jedi Path. Ooh, cool.
Winning!
Epic winning.
Win here.
Anyway, it looks pretty cool. Not much news on it yet, but it is something we may look forward to.
Now, you know, I have the Vault edition of the Jedi Path. I absolutely love it. Probably some of the best, elitist amount of money I could ever spend on a Star Wars product. It was, one of those where I was like biting my fingernails going, gosh, I can't eat for the next 5 months.
But
it's one of those things when you're flipping through it, you're just like, oh my goodness. And it came with a Jedi credit, you know, a Jed credit. Anybody who knows Jedi know that I love it and know the Koran Horn has one. So, of course, now I've got one on my necklace because it's just that cool. But there were so many details that came in this book, and I love how it was the only book that was presented ever as in-universe, coming straight out. I mean, they've had other ones where they kind of him and haw around it, but this one was supposed to be hand-delivered from that universe to ours.
Yeah.
There is also a new Wraith Squadron novel coming.
Ooh, and they have a title.
Yep.
X-Wing, / Mercy Kill. Dun, dun, dun.
That sounds like a rather frightening title, actually. So, that should be interesting. From all of you X-Wing fans, you know who you are.
They are. They're hardcore.
They're
I've not read any of the X-Wing books,
it's
but...
Coming. It's you can coming. Wait for it.
So,
Mercy Kill, and it's coming with a great title.
And
it's going to fall after Starfighters of Adumar. That should come out sometime after that. I'm loving how they're getting closer to the new Jedi Order. It gives me hope. I'm hoping still that they might give me a Rogue Squadron book down that way. The one that I think of the most is the whole Koran Horn taking over Rogue Squadron. Perfect time. Come on, do it. But yeah, you know, Wraiths.
Yeah.
Have you guys, neither one of you have read the Wraith Squadron, have you?
I'm afraid not. No, no X-Wing or Wraith Squadron books for
These books are, I'm trying to think of, my dad's reading this Tom Clancy book about a ship called the USS Oregon or something like that. It was like an anti-terrorist unit on this high-tech boat. And when he was reading it to me, I'm like, you know, this sounds a lot like the Wraith Squadron books because they take a Carillion Corvette and trip it out and then go kind of like undercover. And, oh, man, they're just that whole plot of them traveling around undercover and trying to be the Imperial Army and yet selling the secrets and all this. Oh, and just to kind of see how Wraith Squadron has evolved since then will be great because the last book was actually an X-Wing book, a Rogue Squadron book, not a Wraith Squadron. So I'm really tickled to see what they're going to do with these characters because any of the X-Wing books – and probably some of your most humorous stories out there. They cram humor into them because these pilots, man, they live life and death situations. So they gotta, you know, cut back and cut loose with the best of them.
All
yeah,
right.
Definitely. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. The next story kind of has me cringing a little bit. Harrison Ford and George Lucas will be at the EAA Air Venture 2011. This is the biggest fly-in event in the world. It's held in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and basically all types of planes from all over the world fly in and out in the biggest air show in the world. It happens every year. It's always very successful, and Harrison Ford and George Lucas will be there, and there will be a special screening of George Lucas's Red Tails held there. Now, what makes this tragic is that, for the listeners who do not know, I am a member of the Civil Air Patrol. A Civil Air Patrol cadet, and we do all kinds of fun stuff. Part of which is teach kids how to fly in airplanes. A lot of times cadets get to solo in airplanes. But each year, it's Civil Air Patrol cadets who run the traffic, for lack of a better term, marshal all the fields to where planes are flying and landing. Because they need hundreds and hundreds, so a standard airport can't actually handle all of that. So in Oshkosh, each year, if you want to go, if you're a cadet, you can apply to go. So basically, this is my moment to say, I applied, and I was an alternate, but unfortunately was not able to go. As a matter of fact, I chose to go to a different activity out in Albuquerque, which I leave, like, tomorrow as we record this.
Oh, you took a wrong turn in Albuquerque!
I know, if I had just known, I would have kind of snuck off away from the airplane marshalling and headed over to meet George Lucas. But I think there's nothing more ironic than this past spring I was looking at different activities to go to this summer through Civil Air Patrol and you know, I'm looking at a pararescue thing, which I'm actually going to. I'm looking at a ranger school and wilderness survival, all this fun stuff that you can do each summer. And I chose one over the Oshkosh. So yeah, it's kind of funny how you know what, Mark, life does indeed go in circles. I begin to believe this more and more.
I'm telling you, man.
All right. And Mark, did you have something to say about a cool-looking comic?
Well, you know, comic I want stories. Speaking of going in circles, everything is going online. Music, movies, TV. Why not comics? Books are doing it. Let's do it. So DarkHorse.com said, yes. Star Wars comics are going digital. That's right. The wait is finally over. Dark Horse and Lucasfilm announced the arrival of Star Wars comics in the Dark Horse digital store. That's right. It's going to start. It's the start of the Dark Horse Star Wars comics 20th anniversary panel today. That was, I think it was today. Could have been yesterday when this came out. There's so much news. Twitter is scary to even go near it at this point. News of digital Star Wars comics was delivered to a packed house of fans, media, and industrial professionals. Fans are encouraged to head over to they're encouraged to head over to digital.darkhorse.com. Download your favorite Star Wars titles today. There are over 50 comics available for purchase. You can now download the original Star Wars Crimson Empire series, Marvel's adaptation of A New Hope. You've got The Clone Wars, Knights of the Old Republic, Legacy War, Knight Errant, The Old Republic, Jedi, The Dark Side. You've got top-selling Darth Vader, The Lost Command. There's so many issues. And most of them are going to have a standard price of $1.99, which is actually cheaper than what you're going to be buying most of these anyway. And then you've got ones like KOTOR number 1. Most of your number 1s are starting at 99 cents. They want to hook you. They're giving it away, folks. So be sure to go and check that out. I mean, if you're like me, that are trying to get everything in this whole new digital world, you know, this is another step towards getting your collection online and available at your fingertips until you go out of net range.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool. They might actually attract customers like myself who have no interest in traveling to a physical location for a comic store or something like that. I might, could be persuaded, especially if there was a big event like Legacy Comics, which are now over, something like that, with continuing stories of the saga. I would be in, guys. I think I would.
I'm actually scared because of this. I mean, it's, you know, I love the comics. But honestly, I buy them, I read them, I put them in my comic box, and then they sit there until I decide to read them again. And the comic boxes take up a lot of space, especially the more comics you get. This solves that problem, and the comics are cheaper. I fear, like what we're seeing with the ebooks, that this might be the same thing going on with comics, and we could watch the comic industry start to shrivel and die. We might actually see something revolutionary change in the way that publishing is going down in the next 10 years. I mean, from ebooks now to comics, you're watching everything go online, and it is definitely a lot cheaper all the way around to create it, to put it out there, and to purchase it. You know, what this is going to do for the economy in that area, I don't know, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be too good for them. Or you're going to watch prices quickly rise. That's my theory.
Yeah, definitely. So Star Wars comics going digital, a whole world. We have the Star Wars ebooks, and now we have the Star Wars comics going digital. It's a trend, I think. I think it is a trend. All right, guys, let's go ahead and head into our email for this episode. We do have an email from Andrew Halliday. He says, "Hello, Riley, Bethany, and Mark. I got into the Bothan report fairly late in the game, and when you announced the conversion to the Star Wars report, I made sure to keep a lookout for it. I wanted to tell you that I really enjoy the new podcast. It still delivers the news I like without any overlap with the other Star Wars podcasts that I listen to. Please keep it up." Well, we certainly will. "I wanted to weigh in, if you don't mind, about the issue of hardcovers, paperbacks, and ebooks. I'm one of the few fans that prefers hardcover books. The size and weight feels great in my hand. The print is a good size, and most importantly, it's durable and will last a long time. Whereas paperbacks always get major cracks along their spines after one or two reads. Plus, with hardcovers, I get the book right away. I understand that paying $31 to $33 per book," I'm Canadian and the industry hasn't accepted that our dollar is just as good as yours now.
Yeah, what's up with that?
"It can be excessive, but my wife and I have an arrangement with Star Wars books. I'm allowed to buy them, regardless of the budget, and in exchange, I try to be more conservative about buying video games." So he's got a little bit of a deal working out there. I like it.
Nice.
He says, "Other than the lower price, the other appeal of paperback books to me was that back in the day, they used to include short stories and ebooks in the back of paperback reprints. But they stopped doing that in 2008 or so. So I intentionally waited to buy the paperback for Legacy of the Force Invincible, assuming it would have a nice short story in it, since the paperback reprints of Betrayal and Sacrifice both did. I was so disappointed that Invincible lacked a short story, and that I'd wasted a year waiting for it. And since then, no paperback reprints have contained short stories. I honestly assumed that the Fate of the Jedi paperbacks would contain the Lost Tribe of the Sith ebook stories, but that didn't happen either." That was a little bit disappointing. He says, "Right now..."
Oh, but they are making a comeback, though. Darth Maul Shadowhunters reprint will have a new story in it.
This is true, yeah, to go along with the Phantom Menace premiere. Let's see. "Right now, based on what you three have discussed in the Star Wars Report Episode 1, the industry seems to be concerned about a perceived lack of sales. They believe that hardcover sales are indicative of how popular a book is or how well it will sell overall, completely ignoring the fact that many fans prefer paperbacks or ebooks. I understand that they want more people to buy hardcovers. I too would prefer someone to give me $33 instead of $10. And I imagine the profit margin of a hardcover is better too. But using hardcover sales alone as an indicator for overall sales and basing future decisions on them is a terrible idea."
Amen!
"So I have an idea, which I submit here for you to consider, and which I offer freely to the industry. Put an exclusive fiction in the hardcover edition." You're kidding. What an idea. What a novel idea. "Hear me out. They want fans to buy hardcovers instead of paperbacks. So give fans extra incentive, like putting exclusive stories in the hardcover edition. This will make many of us want to pay the extra money for the new stories, whereas the more casual fans who live without the extra story will be more willing to wait for the paperback. Furthermore, doing this would remove a major reason not to buy the hardcover. In the past, ending about 3 years ago, it was generally believed that you got a free short story or ebook when you waited for the paperback. The Betrayal paperback came with a pair of Darth Vader short stories. Sacrifice came with Boba Fett, a practical man. Star by Star came with Recovery. The Cestus Deception,
oh, which came... I will say came in the front of the book. That was the one book where they actually put the short story in the front.
That's true.
Yeah. Interesting.
The Cestus Deception, great book by the way, came with The Hive, etc., etc. This practice not only does one thing, it encourages even the most hardcore fans not only to buy the book when the paperback comes out. Frankly, I think it alienates those who buy the hardcover right away, who then regret it since they want the short story too. So in conclusion, my idea is to stop putting the exclusive stories in paperback reprints and start putting them in the hardcover editions to encourage fans to buy hardcover. I think this makes a good business sense. And well may cause at least some fans to start buying the hardcover without alienating other fans. What do you guys think? I would love the opinions of Riley, Bethany, and Mark, if this is indeed read on the podcast, and the community as a whole. Please keep up the great work on the podcast. Sincerely, Andrew Halliday.
Interesting. Those are all great ideas.
So yeah, the actually giving fans extra for paying more. Who would have thought? What a novel idea.
See, I'm right there with him when he talks about the incentives and the good things about hardcovers. That's the one thing I love about hardcovers. In fact, I would like hardcovers more if they were the size of the paperback. I'm all about my bookshelf. But I think the reason why they did what they did, and I'm not disagreeing with Andrew. I think it would work. But I think they did that originally to do what they're trying to do now with hardcovers, with paperbacks. I think originally you didn't have many paperback sales. And so they went that direction to kind of make you an incentive to wait that year. Or if you did wait, well, here's the extra reason to buy it. I mean, granted, I'm an OCD Star Wars fan. So I will buy the book in hardcover, and then I will rush out and get in paperback because, like I said, it's all about my paper book, my bookshelf. I got to have it on that. If it doesn't fit, it's my collection's not complete. Got to have it all in chronological order. It's got to be. And so, you know, for me, my conclusion is let's go a year, put out all three of them on the same date. Oh, Star Wars... You know, Choices of One comes out July 17th. I'm just throwing that date out there. It's not a real date. But all of them are going to be there. You're going to have the ebook. You're going to have the hardcover, the paperback. A year, every single one of these. Look at those numbers. Then come up with your business strategy. Because right now, and Andrew pointed out at the beginning of the letter, they have no clue what they're selling into who. You know, you don't know if a fan is buying the hardcover because they just don't want to wait the year, not because they care about the hardcover one way or the other. And the same thing going on with paperbacks, because I admit with Andrew, I mean, that's the one thing about paperbacks I do not like is the fact that the spines wear out. There are a few books I've had to buy two copies of, and I will do that because if I like the book enough. But that wear and tear is the downside of paperbacks. And you've got fans that you know, they weigh those pros and cons. And Star Wars fans, like I said, we're fickle. You know, we all like something different. You know, so the publishers have no idea, but when they put out their plans, I mean, they're definitely pushing for hardcover fans. Like, that's all the book industry is hardcover sales. That's not the case. They need to figure out what is the interest. And to me, I think the only way to do it is to fairly put all the products out there at the same time for the same price and you know, see what sells.
That's a cool idea, Mark.
Yeah, definitely. And I could see that. I would definitely... prefer, if you're going to put a short story in a book, it should be in the one that you're paying more for, because that makes sense. Although I think the biggest factor,
and I agree there too,
the biggest factor still remains, especially in the online world with Twitter and social networking, people want to buy it when it first comes out, even if it's at a premium, because everybody else is talking about it. So,
And that too, I'd be fine for that. Put me the paperback book. You know, make it the same price as the hardcover if you want. There's got to be a way they could figure it out where everybody feels, you know, happy with the conclusion, including the people getting the money.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think thanks for so much for the email, Andrew. And if you guys want to send us an email, send it starwarsreport@gmail.com. We appreciate any and all fan feedback that we can possibly get. That's going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. It's been a nice wild ride as we talk about all the goings-on over at Comic-Con, all this Clone Wars Season 4 news, all the Clone Wars goodness. I'm really excited now reading some of those little details. I think we're in for probably the best season yet, and it's really happened each season, I think. Season 3 had some ups and downs, but hopefully Season 4 will just be even better. And for goodness sake, Cartoon Network, please don't give us breaks between every other episode. Please. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I do get kind of tired of it sometimes. All right, if you guys want to
I'm right there with you. Postpone the show for a month.
Exactly. I know. It gets tiresome. Maybe one break over Christmas.
Yeah.
But then for...
Maybe two breaks.
Yeah, but then for the love of Alderaan, please, just keep a steady schedule. But all right.
Pretty please.
If you guys want to contact us, you can do so by sending us an email. As I said, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. That's where you can also embed a little bit of a voicemail if you want to have your voice heard on the Star Wars Report. We don't have a voicemail line yet, but we might get one soon. Also, if you want to follow us on the social networks, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter.com/StarWarsReport and Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Nice and easy to remember. Let's jump up some of the Facebook likes. Hasn't been quite as active, and we do post almost all pictures and video content on the Facebook page. You can expect some convention coverage there in the near future. We're planning to go to, I almost said San Diego Comic-Con. No San Diego Comic-Con for us this year, but we are planning to go to Dragon Con in Atlanta, and so you can expect some awesome Star Wars Report coverage. I know Timothy Zahn will be there, so who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we'll get to talk to him. That would be awesome.
Also, check us out on StarWarsReport.com. That is where we occasionally post articles and where we post episodes and conversations, etc.
Yeah.
Also, check us out on the EU Cantina forums. We often have a bit of discussion there, usually when each episode comes out or when the big news hits. Anyway, ask us questions there if you like, and be sure to give us a review on iTunes. Hopefully nice review.
iTunes. Please leave. Make it positive. Make it good. iTunes and Zune. Do not forget. Want to spread the love. Spread the word. And also, do not forget our brand new sponsor, Toy Hut. Support our efforts here. We got to pay the bills, guys. We're trying to get better equipment and produce a better show. And to do so, Toy Hut's showing some faith in us. So show some faith in them and purchase some action figures. It's a win-win situation. Purchase some Star Wars action figures and support the Star Wars Report. It's a great win-win situation for all. All right, I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. For the Star Wars Report, I'm Riley.
May the Force be with you. I'm Bethany.
And it's Mark and Whistler saying so long!
And remember, many Bothans died to take us to fan days. We'll just call that a teaser. So long,
Yay!
Everybody.
By the way, have I mentioned how much I love our theme song?
It's awesome.